Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Chana Ballabha Giri Padadhari. Gopi Chana Ballabha Giri Padadhari. Yasodanandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yasodanandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Chana Ballabha Giri Padadhari. Gopi Chana Ballabha Giri Padadhari. Yasodanandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yasodanandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jayom Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paditrachaka Charusha Astotara Sita Sri Srimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayom Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paditrachaka Charusha Astotara Sita Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Sham Kundaradha Kund Kiti Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Sri Mathura Dham Ki Jai Sri Dwarka Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundara Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Gatim
Jigishataha
Padao,
Padao,
Ruruhate,
Ruruhate,
Abhika, Abhikamikam,
Abhikamikam,
Padyam,
Padyam,
Yagya,
Yagya,
Swayam,
Swayam,
Havyam,
Havyam,
Karmabhi,
Karmabhi,
Kriyate,
Kriyate,
Nribi,
Nribi,
Gatim Jigishata Padao
Gatim Jigishata Padao
Ruruhate Bikamikam
Ruruhate Bikamikam
Padyam Yagya Swayam Havyam
Padyam Yagya Swayam Havyam
Karma Bikriyate Nribhi Gatim Jigishata Padao
Gatim Jigishata Padao
Ruruhate Bikamikam
Ruruhate Bikamikam
Padbhyam Yagya Swayam Havyam
Padbhyam Yagya Swayam Havyam
Karma Bhi Kriyate Nribhi
Karma Bhi
Gatim Jigishata Padao
Gatim Jigishata Padao
Ruruhate Bikamikam
Ruruhate Bikamikam
Padyam Yagya Swayam Havyam
Padyam Yagya Swayam Havyam
Karma Bhi Kriyate Nribhi
Karma Bhi Amen.
Jagishadaha.
So desiring.
Padao.
Legs.
Ruruhate.
Being manifested.
Abhikamikam.
Purposeful.
Padbhyam.
From the legs.
Yajna.
Lord Vishnu.
Swayam.
Personally himself.
Havyam.
The duties.
Karmibhi.
By one's occupational duty.
Kriyate.
Cause to be done.
Nirbhi.
By different human beings.
Thereupon, because of his desiring to control movement, his legs being manifested, and from his legs, the controlling deity named Vishnu was generated. By his personal supervision of this act, all varieties of human being are busily engaged in dutiful occupational sacrifice. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Every human being is engaged in his particular occupational duty. And such activities are visible as men go hither and thither. This is very prominently visible in big cities of the world. People are going all over the cities with great concern from one place to another. This movement is not limited only to the cities, but it is also visible outside the cities from one place to another, or from one city to another, by different means of vehicles. Men are moving by cars and rails on the roads, by subways within the earth, and by planes in the sky for the purpose of business success. But in all these movements, the real purpose is to earn wealth for comfortable life. For this comfortable life, the scientist is engaged, the artist is engaged, the engineer is engaged, the technician is engaged, all in different branches of human activity. But they do not know how to make the activities purposeful to fulfill the mission of human life. Because they do not know this secret, all their activities are targeted towards the goal of sense gratification without control. And therefore, by all this business, they are unknowingly entering into the deep regions of darkness. Because they have been captivated by the external energy of the Supreme Lord, they have completely forgotten the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And thus they have taken it for granted that this life, as presently manifested under the conditions of material nature, is all in all for enjoying the highest amount of sense gratification. But such a wrong conception of life cannot give anyone the desired peace of mind. And thus, in spite of all advancement in knowledge by use of the resources of nature, no one is happy in this material civilization. The secret is that at every step they should try to execute sacrifices to toward the path of world peace. The Bhagavad Gita also advises the same secret in the following verses. Sve sve karmanyapi rataha sam siddhim labhate nara swakarma nirata siddhim yathavindati tat shrinu yatha pravrittir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatat swakarmanatham avyarcha siddhim vindati manavaha. The Lord said to Arjuna, just hear from me how one can attain the highest perfection in life simply by discharging his specified occupational duty. Man can attain the highest perfection of life by worshiping the Supreme Lord and by performing sacrifice for the sake of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who is all-pervading and whose control every living being acquires, his desired facilities, according to his personal propensity. There is no harm in having different propensities in life, because every human being is proportionately independent to chalk out the plan of his life by different occupations. But one should make it a point in his life to know perfectly well that he is not independent absolutely. One is certainly under the control of the Supreme Lord and under different agencies. Knowing this, one should make it a point that by his work and the result of his labor, he serves the Supreme Lord as prescribed by the authorities expert in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. For performing such occupational duties of life, the leg is the most important instrument of the body. Because without the help of the legs, one cannot move from one place to another. And therefore the Lord has special control over the legs of all human beings, which are meant for performing yajñas. Om Ajñānjanirandhasya Jñānāñjana Chalakaya Chakshurum Nilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudhapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sakra Chataham Sahakana Raghunatham Vidham Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahakana Vanita Sri Vishakam Vidamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha
Adhidhanam Bhagavibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Sri Advaita Gadadhara Śrīvāsādi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale,
Śrīmate Bhaktivedanta, Swami Iti Namine.
Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine
Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Astrachate Sutarine.
Thereupon, because of his desiring to control movement, his legs became manifest. And from the legs, the controlling deity named Vishnu was generated. By his personal supervision of this act, all varieties of human being are busily engaged in dutiful occupational sacrifice. We are reading today from Canto 2 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chapter 10, text 25. This chapter is entitled Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Very grateful and very honored to be with all of you today. In this second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit, sitting on the bank of the river Ganges, determined to fast until his death. With less than 7 days to live, is inquiring from Shukadeva Goswami. All the great sages throughout the universe gathered to be there for this event. There is a description of some of them that Vyasadeva gives us, including Vyasadeva himself, his guru Narada Muni, Vishishta, Vishvamitra, Bharavat Muni, Bharadraj Muni, they're all there. Ancient sages who we read about in Ramayana, Puranas, Vedas, they're gathered together. Now, if everybody gave their realizations, 7 days would not be enough time. Among them, they selected one to speak on behalf of everyone. The person they considered had the deepest realizations. He was a 16-year-old boy named Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, who learned from Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva was there. And Vyasadeva's guru, Narada Muni, who he learned from was there. So essentially, everyone who was gathered on this riverbank was simply concerned with what was best for King Parikshit. Because what was best for King Parikshit would be best for the whole world for all time to come. Parikshit Maharaj, his primary inquiries, what is the essence of all religion? What is the foremost essential occupation for a human being? What is the duty of a person who is about to die? He was asking this question on behalf of you and me and every human being within this world forever. And in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he's asking many questions in regard to the technical details of how and why there is this creation. Sukadeva Goswami refers to the beginning of the creation of this universe, where the most capable father of everyone to be, Lord Brahma, was born from a lotus flower from the navel of Lord Vishnu. There was nothing and no one around that he could perceive. He actually didn't know what to do, how to do it. He didn't know who he was. And he didn't know why. Now here is a son of Vishnu, and he was bewildered. Historically, this is incredible. Symbolically, what is our position? With all his capacity, he searched, trying to understand where he was and what he was supposed to do and how he was supposed to do it. He climbed down the stem of the lotus a long way. He came to the causal ocean. Eventually, when he realized he was absolutely helpless, Lord Narayan spoke the two words, tapa, penance. He sat on the whirl of that lotus, and for 1,000 celestial years he did penance. Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, they define tapa in this sense as devotional service. He was surrendering his heart, his life, to this higher power. And when Lord Vishnu was satisfied with his efforts, he revealed the spiritual abode of Vaikuntha to Brahma. This is quite incredible. There's nothing around him. There's no one around him. There's just darkness. And he's sitting alone. And he didn't have to go anywhere. Krishna gave him the vision of Vaikuntha, where he was seeing limitless, pure, liberated people.
spirit souls in transcendental spiritual forms, eternally happy, engaged in the service of the Lord. While he's seeing the activities of Vaikuntha and the happiness of all the residents, not all, but many of the residents of Vaikuntha, he saw Lord Vishnu himself, who came before him. And Lord Vishnu held Brahma's hand. And revealed to him the truth of what he was to do, who he was, and why. Lord Brahma realized that everything he knows, everything he can think, speak, or do, is all completely dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. He could do nothing or know nothing without the mercy of the Lord. Janmadya Shayata. The Supreme Truth is the origin of everything that exists and everyone that exists. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yoga didati kama. There is one supreme eternal being, Krishna. And the infinite, infinitesimal beings, the jivas, are eternally, forever subordinate to the one supreme. What to speak of the words we speak, our actions and abilities, our intelligence, our influence, our wealth, our property? What to speak of all these things being God's property? Our very existence is completely dependent on Krishna. This is the first lesson of the universe. It's the foundation of all knowledge. And without this understanding, we can never truly pursue the truth. When Brahma was being empowered to be the first guru of the universe, the father of all beings in the universe, he was given a lifespan by our calculation of, I believe, 311 trillion years. And he doesn't have any symptoms of old age, disease, or throughout his whole life. We could know something, we could do something. But Lord Brahma, all knowledge of the universe is coming through him at the beginning. He's creating everything within the universes on behalf of Krishna. And here in this second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma is praying. Let me do this service without becoming proud. That was actually his greatest worry. Not that he may do something wrong, because Krishna was doing it through him. He was an instrument. He understood he was an instrument, but he was praying, let me not take credit for anything. let me not become proud. Why Brahma didn't want to be crowned? Because it is that pride that stands between us and receiving the awareness, the realization of Krishna's love. And even more difficult is it stands between us and pleasing Krishna with our love. Sam Sudhir Hari Toshana. The purpose of everything we do is only successful when it pleases Krishna. Aprama bhuvana loka punaravartano arjana mamubhetita kunteya punarjanmana vidyate. From the highest planet, Brahma's abode, down to the lowest, Patala. They're all places of misery. Can you imagine in Swargaloka how much enjoyment Indra and his associates are having? And then above that are actually higher enjoyment of Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka. But their enjoyment is not like Swargaloka, where they're enjoying incredible degrees of sensual enjoyment. It's material. When Indra performs a yajna, Vishnu personally comes. But still, he's desiring the luxuries, the wealth, this sensual pleasures. We cannot conceive of this in this world. But the higher enjoyment in these higher planets is people doing tapasya and meditating. They're sages. But they're not yet completely pure. But that's a higher planet than material enjoyment. They have all sorts of mystical cities. And the highest is Brahmaloka, where the residents have everything that everyone has as far as opulences. Mental, intellectual, sensual strength. And facilities to enjoy. They're all places of misery. Because the soul, its constitutional nature, is to experience Krishna. The beauty and the love of Krishna. And for the soul, everything else is miserable. It has a beginning and an end. It's incomplete. So it's very interesting how param drishtva nivartate. The very beginning, before empowering Brahma to do his service, Vishnu showed Brahma by kripa. He showed the joys of the spiritual world. Incredible. And Brahma, now that he's about to begin his service, he's praying, protect me from false pride. Because that is the basic principle that separates us from Krishna. Ahankar, the ego. Sukadeva Goswami is describing Krishna's instructions to Brahma, Brahma's prayers to Vishnu. Then he is explaining how from Brahma Narada Muni came, and how Brahma explained these truths to Narada. Narada explained these truths to Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva is the guru of Sukadeva. Now he's repeating these truths, and Srila Prabhupada is describing transcendental knowledge comes through the system of parampara. And in this particular chapter, Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Sukadeva Goswami is answering a particular among the many, many questions that Parikshit Maharaj asked. The nature of the soul, the nature of God, the nature of yoga, the nature of love. He's asking about the nature of creation and details. Sukadeva Goswami is he's telling about the Virat Rupa, the enormous universal form of the Lord. Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu, or Karuna Dakshaya Vishnu. He appears in this causal ocean. And Srila Prabhupada describes he is a person. The Supreme Lord is a person, Nara. And because he's coming from and resting upon, apparently, the causal ocean, the ocean is called Nara. And he is Narayan. Just a hint of who Mahavishnu is. By his desire, nothing else. He doesn't actually have to work, he just desires. And from that desire, the whole cosmic manifestation is gradually manifesting. Imahatattva describes it first begins like a golden egg and it expands and everything is within it. And how this Lord is both simultaneously within everything and outside of everything. Because everything is generated from Him. And by His mere will, everyone is manifested along with all of the details of material complexities. And by His will, by His simple inhalation, everything enters back inside of Him. And by His will, all living entities and all the elements of creation come out again outside of Him. He's just breathing. One breath. Everything is created. Another breath, everything's annihilated. And for a time that's beyond our calculation of time, practically, between His breaths, we're all just inside Mahavishnu. In it, we have no capacity to do anything, not even think. It's like an incredible slumber. And then when He exhales, we all come out and continue with our karmic destiny. And what an illusion is for us to be proud of what we do. But yet that's what keeps us in this material existence. Daivi heshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Mameva me prabhupada maya me tatarantite. Krishna says this divine nature. He's calling material existence my divine nature, because it's actually only material when we separate the realization, the experience, and the knowledge that actually everything belongs to Krishna and everything is meant for Krishna's service. How could it be material if it's coming from Krishna?
Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam.
The Absolute Truth is perfect and complete, and everything emanating from the Absolute Truth is also perfect and complete. And we're emanating. And some of us have a lot of imperfections. We can't even conceive of perfect. But yet we're perfect. And this material nature, which seems to be so temporary and mundane and everything like that, it's perfect when it's understood from its original, natural, and true perspective. Mahavishnu manifests this virat rupa, this universal form. And how it is explained in these verses that we're reading today, and we will get to the legs part. I think it's really nice when we recognize in Krishna reveals how imperfect we really are, that we can take shelter. Because this material nature is so powerful. It's Krishna's energy. Mayadhyakshena prakriti. It's impossible to come out of the illusions unless we truly humble ourselves and take shelter of the Lord. Not only does Krishna, he gives us the free will to be entrapped within the almost endless sufferings of material existence and the illusions of enjoyment, which are just like the flip side of suffering, and it keeps flipping. But it's only by Krishna's mercy, when by our free will we turn to him, that he can take us out of this illusion. Sukadeva Goswami describes what liberation is. It means you don't have to any longer go inside and outside of Mahavishnu's body. You enter into that spiritual world that Brahma saw at the beginning, which is actually the goal of everything he's doing. The goal of creation itself was revealed before creation. To be an eternal personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was teaching Sanatana Goswami, according to the literatures that we have in writing, the direct personal teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami is the most exhaustive. Many chapters of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing the nature of the soul, the nature of the Supreme Soul who's within our hearts, who manifests as the limitless Brahman, the all-pervading, apparently impersonal aspect of the Lord, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is personally living in various eternal forms in limitless Vaikuntha planets. And Brahma's ultimate realization was when Krishna manifested to him Goloka Vrindavan. Chintamani Prakara Satmas Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Krishna's abode, where everything and everyone that exists is a fully conscious, pure devotee in the highest ecstasies of love, serving Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing all these things, and he begins his teachings from the premise of the most important thing. Unless we understand it, we can't really get the proper perspective of anything else. Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. The nature of every living entity, every soul, is that we are Nitya. Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. We're eternally servants of Krishna. Eternally means we've always been, we will always be. And we are. This is described in the previous chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is the jiva, the manifested, expanded part and parcel of Krishna, who is the eternal servant of Krishna, whose most deepest inherent nature is, and our greatest potential, to surrender to Krishna forever with love, serve. And then there's Krishna, who's Bhagavan. Aishwaryasya samagrasya. He possesses everything that's attractive in full forever. Krishna tells in Gita that anything that you may be attracted to in this world, anything powerful, anything great, is but an insignificant spark of his splendor. When devotees were once marveling over an incredible, breathtaking, natural panoramic view, Srila Prabhupada, he taught us how to actually really appreciate that panoramic view. He didn't say not to. He didn't say, oh, this sunset is all Maya. Because he was also happily looking at the sunset. But he said, you should see beauty of the artist, then you will understand the beauty of the art. Hare Krishna. To see everything in relation to Krishna. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, I am death personified. Who thinks about death as something beautiful? But Krishna's beautiful. And he's saying, I'm death. Srila Prabhupada, in this previous verses, he describes that Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us the essence of all knowledge and its purpose. Dharma Prochita Kaitavatra. From the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it puts aside all sub-religious principles. Because the Vedic literatures are filled with sub-religious principles. It's taking the very essence of all knowledge of Vedas. which is pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Supreme Lord. This is emphatically proclaimed in the second verse of the Bhagavatam, after obeisances I read. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada describes every word of the Bhagavatam is for that purpose, to bring us to unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Supreme Person. In Navadvip, the greatest intellectual scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam was of the name Devananda Pandit. He had so many students. And having students like that, being the most exalted teacher of the Bhagavatam in a place like Navadvip, was most exalted. Nishikant Sanyal declared Navadvip to be the Oxford of India. Because under British rule, Oxford was promoted as by the British to be the best. But yet, he couldn't recognize the devotion and the exalted nature of a devotee, Srivas. And therefore, he totally displeased Lord Chaitanya. What is the use of knowing Srimad Bhagavatam if you're displeasing Krishna? From the very beginning, the whole purpose of the Bhagavatam is to please Krishna with love. When Nimai, after he began the Sankirtan movement, he was with his devotees and they happened to see Devananda Pandit in his ashram reciting Srimad Bhagavatam to all these great scholars. Lord Chaitanya became very angry. He called him a rascal. He actually went in to rip up his Bhagavatam. But the devotees said, "No, please." And Devananda Pandit could hear and see Lord Chaitanya's anger toward him, but he still couldn't understand. The Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, Radha and Krishna coming in one form, is standing right before him, the essence of Bhagavatam, and he can't recognize him. Bhaktyatvananya yashakya aham evam vidurjana. Yatam drastam chatatvena praveshtam chaparantam. Krishna tells Arjuna, it is only by pure devotion, bhakti, that I can be understood as I am standing in front of you. And later on, after Lord Chaitanya became sannyasi and left Navadvip for Puri in South India and came back to Puri, and after some years he actually came back to Navadvip in Koladvip. But in between, Devananda Pandit somehow or other developed affection for Vakreshwar Pandit, a loving devotee servant of the Lord. And because of that affection, his heart changed and he desired to serve and please Vakreshwar Pandit. Only then could he understand what was in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he came before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the bank of Ganga when the Lord returned and begged forgiveness. In fact, he was so humble he wouldn't even approach the Lord. The Lord saw him from a distance. He said, "Because you have served my devotee, Vakreshwar, you come." And here's the, academically, he was like the highest. But he's crying, "Please, my Lord, I don't know anything about the Srimad Bhagavatam. Please tell me how I'm supposed to explain it.
And Lord Chaitanya told him,
every word and between every word, everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam has only one purpose. To please Krishna with unalloyed pure bhakti. So we could debate so many things. But actually, if we're not pleasing the Lord, if we're not respecting the devotees of the Lord, then even if we're right, we're wrong. And the Bhagavatam says, even if you're sometimes a little wrong, you're right. If you're trying to serve the Lord with pure devotion. So how is Krishna death personified? That means a devotee sees the beauty of Krishna in even death. Even in the death of loved ones. Because death is death. And we know how much it hurts. And Krishna doesn't say it's not supposed to hurt. But we're supposed to see the inner truth beyond this ever-changing temporary existence. Because there's the eternal soul, the Bhakta. There's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what's separating us is this illusory energy. But when Krishna's pleased, he manifests himself in this energy. And then the illusory energy actually becomes a medium to love and serve Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur composed this song to departed Vaishnavas, Jaya Nilo Premadana, Karuna Pracho. Or he's beating his head against rocks in the sorrow of separation from the devotees. And in the Bhakti Ratnakar, Narottam Vilas, we read when great devotees like Srinivas Acharya or Ramchandra Kaviraj passed away, they were his devotee friends. One was like a Shiksha Guru. One was like a student, but a dear friend. He was beside himself in grief. But that grief was based on knowledge that their eternal souls have gone back to Krishna, but the medium of the apparently external bodies that we could praise Krishna and love Krishna and serve each other and serve the world, that is gone. So in that sense, it's an expression of love for God. The sorrows of separation when we're in this realization. The all-beautiful, all-merciful Parama Karuna is death personified. He's the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent, the ability of everyone. He's the fragrance of the earth, the taste of water, the sound of the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. He's everything. But to see everything in its essence by witnessing the presence of Krishna everywhere. We're liberated. The soul experiences the happiness of Krishna's love. Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in these verses, is describing how we can see Krishna in everything within ourselves, within everyone else, and within the whole world. The Virat Rupa in this particular description, Virat Purusha, I'm going to briefly, he's lying in a bed of mystic slumber. There's so many beautiful examples. The Virat Rupa moves. And that move gave the power for all living beings and all living things within creation to move. It's very personal. The Virat Purusha became hungry, and that gave all of the every living being for all time to come within this creation the power to be hungry. And also manifested not only the hunger, but the mouth to feed the hunger, and the objects to satisfy our hunger. All that happened because in a moment, Virat Purusha became hungry. So I'm going over time and you're hungry. Just be happy that this hunger. I'm only hungry because Krishna's hungry. I'm not going to go too much over time because Krishna says, time I am. So our power to eat was because Krishna was hungry to eat. The mouth became manifested, the tongue was generated, and all the different tastes in all existence for the tongue to relish all came about, all were created because Krishna was hungry. And this is a manifestation which appears in Krishna himself, Narayan, Mahavishnu, is taking a form that appears to be made of also the external energy, the Virat Rupa. When the Supreme Purusha desired to smell odors, the nostrils and respiration were generated. The nasal instrument and odors came into existence, and the controlling deity of air carrying smell also became manifested. I don't know how much we could remember that every time we smell something. But Nasta Prayeshiv, if we hear it regularly, then we learn to see through the eyes of scriptures. But actually, we're learning here, we not only see through the eyes of scriptures, but we taste through the eyes of scriptures, and we smell through the eyes of scriptures. And we hear through the eyes of scriptures, and we touch and feel through the eyes of scriptures. This is wonderful. Thus, when everything existed in darkness, the Lord desired to see himself, because there's actually nothing else that exists except himself. That's quite profound. The Lord, all he ever sees is himself, because
He's within, outside. He's everything. When everything existed within this universe in darkness, the Lord desired to see himself and all that was created. Then the eyes, the illuminating God of the sun, the power of vision, and the object of sight, all became manifest. By development of the desire of the great sages to know, the ears, the sages wanted to know. So by the desire of the Lord, the ears, the power of hearing, the controlling deity of hearing, and the objects of hearing all became manifested. Why? Because the Lord desired to know, so that the sages would know. And it's very interesting here, because the desire to know was manifested through hearing. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. The first principle of bhakti, the first principle of knowledge, is to hear. In the Bible, Jesus said, "Hear for me." In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, "Hear for me." Here in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord says, "Hear for me." Or hear from those who have heard from me. So we learn, we know through the process of hearing. Because the desire, the Lord desired to know. That's why we can hear. When there was a desire to perceive the physical characteristics of matter, such as softness, hardness, warmth, cold, lightness, and heaviness, the background of sensation, the skin pores, the hairs on the body, and their controlling deities, the trees, were generated. Within and outside the skin is a covering of air through which sense perception became . When the Supreme Person desired to perform varieties of work, the two hands and their controlling strength, and Indra, the demigod of heaven, became manifest, as also the acts dependent on both the hands and the demigods. And now we'll begin the class with today's verse. Thereupon, because of his desiring to control movement, the legs became manifested. And from the legs, the controlling deity named Vishnu was generated. By his personal supervision of this act, all varieties of human being are busily engaged in dutiful occupational service. We can only do anything. We can only, Srila Prabhupada in this beautiful purport is describing how, especially in the world we see today, people are just going from one place to another. City to city, to village, in between, within this. Prabhupada is describing we're moving on the land with cars and railways. He doesn't say it, but these days, bicycles, whatever, wheels, walking, running, We're moving in the sea on boats. We're moving in the sky in airplanes, rocket ships. Everybody's moving. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that movement is give that power to move is only possible because the Lord desired to have legs. How beautiful that is. To see all movement as coming just from the desire of the Lord, who personifies his desire in the form of his legs. But which way we're moving? There Srila Prabhupada is explaining we have our free will. By hearing these subjects from the proper source of knowledge, hear the Bhagavatam from the person Bhagavatams. Srila Prabhupada has given us the purports of these Bhagavatam with the realizations, the blessings, and the divine grace of all of our previous acharyas. What has been passed down and expanded upon since the beginning of creation in the most elegant Sanskrit poetry. Srila Prabhupada is giving us the comprehensive essence in very simple English. We don't even have to learn any other languages. We could if we want. It could be very useful if we can. But here it is, the conclusions of the acharyas from all time to come in a beautiful purport. People are moving around because of sense gratification, because we have forgotten our existence as the eternal souls, the eternal servants of Krishna. We have forgot that basic principle that Brahma realized at the beginning of creation. Anything that is not for the pleasure and the service of Krishna offered with love is an illusion. It's the cause of bondage. And that's at the core of pride, is we're simply forgetful of who we are. And the source of all suffering. And when we are in this illusion, we have the capacity to cause so many people suffering. But Srila Prabhupada writes, there is no harm in having different propensities in life, because every human being is proportionately independent to chalk out the plan of his life by different occupations. But one should make it a point in his life to know perfectly well that he is not independent absolutely. One is certainly under the control of the Supreme Lord and under different agencies. Knowing this, one should make it a point that by his work and the result of his labor, he serves the Supreme Lord as prescribed by the authorities expert in transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In this spirit, let us chant Hare Krishna and be happy.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And here in New Ramanreti,
in this miraculous abode of Alachua, Florida, the largest devotee community outside of India, you are all residing. And as we spoke Sunday, the largest gathering of disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada in the entire planet Earth are living right here. And naturally, there's a lot of variegatedness in people's natures and people's opinions of various ways. But let us keep the perspective that everything that's going on here is only because Krishna desired to taste, and He desired to hear, and He desired to see, and He desired to touch, and He desired to move. Not only do we need to see ourselves in that way, but we have to see everyone and everything in that way. But are we moving toward being the servant of the servant of the servant and pleasing Krishna? That is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I don't want to increase Vishnu's hunger through you any more than I already do. Hare Krishna.